Everybody, please rise for the invocation and pledge of allegiance. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here today. Please see over our meeting this evening. Please be with our residents. Please be with those who are ill or who have lost loved ones. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. The City of Kirby is dedicated to delivering excellent municipal services to our community in a fiscally responsible manner. Will our City Secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Pierce?
Here.
Councilmember Grant?
Here.
Councilmember Layman?
Here.
Councilmember Wilson?
Here.
Councilmember Abadaka?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldrich?
Here.
Mayor Pierce?
Here. Item 5, citizens' participation. We will go with Mr. Dennis Wendell with Water Drain. And I apologize, I'm not sure what that other word was.
My name is Dennis Wendell. I live at 3718 Autumn Lane. I live along that drainage ditch that goes through the center of Kirby and the bridge at Redding. Right, that bridge right there always holds water. The bridge over at Starfire, the water always drains off and never holds water right there. I know we spray for mosquitoes, I don't know, different times of the year. And I think the mosquitoes are pretty bad right now. Is there any kind of way that water can, something be done with the concrete down there to make that water drain?
We'll have our director of Public Works look at that.
Okay.
If you'd like to leave your contact information or we have your address, and that way he can follow up with you.
Okay. Because even when it can be months, 2 months, 3 months, and the water starts to grow algae in there.
Yes, sir. Well, hopefully we can figure out a solution for that.
Okay. Does the state monitor that, or does the City of Kirby maintain that drainage?
I honestly don't know, and unfortunately we can't discuss it since it's not on the agenda.
Okay.
So, but like I said, you can follow up with our Director of Public Works. He's actually in the back.
Okay.
He can get that information and then follow up with you.
And what's their name?
His name is Gilbert Salas.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much. All right, Miss Dorothy Griffin regarding walk light.
Yes.
Walking light?
Yeah, the light across 78.
The walk light.
Okay.
The crosswalk.
Okay. Crosswalk, you want to call it.
Okay.
Let's just put it this way. I've been almost hit about 3 or 4 times because the light just stays on just for a second, and then it's out, and the guys are turning and blaring their horn at me because I don't walk that fast. And it's like, who do I get or what to get the light to stay a little bit longer so I have a chance to get somewhere? Because I like to go to QT, and it's like, eh. And then even coming back from QT, the light just like, dump, it's gone. And they'll turn right in front of me and everything else.
Okay, I know that we've made calls to TxDOT, so we'll follow back up with them.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And John, you're actually on the agenda, so do you want to, or are you? Oh, there you are. Do you want to, since you're actually on the agenda, do you want to just hold off for comments until you get to that part? Or is there something?
Yes. It's fine.
Okay. All right. So the other 6 people that are on here have BJ Voigt, Chris Garza, Beverly Johnson, Charles Johnson, Charlene Wyatt, and M. Kyle. Have all signed up to speak regarding the Springfield Development Project. However, Sharon Schuler also signed up for this, and they have turned over their minutes to Sharon. So, Sharon, would you like to?
Good evening. My name is Sharon Schuler, and I'm a longtime resident of Kirby. I would like to say thank you for the people who allowed me to speak with their time. As per the City of Kirby's website states, the mission of the City of Kirby Economic Development Committee is to work with and be available to commercial property owners in an effort to sustain, grow, and enhance the community. The city wishes to maintain and improve the quality of life for its citizens by fostering economically viable commercial properties. The request to waive the requirement for the installation of an automatic sprinkler system has been brought to the Kirby City Council by Big Boy Hauling. We ask that you do not waive the requirement. Letting one commercial building on the block of Springfield Road be built without an automatic sprinkler system, you will set a precedent for all new businesses along Springfield Road, as well as all future business construction coming into the Kirby city limits. At the May 14th Planning and Zoning Commission meeting, one of the committee members said that if something were to happen, that the City of Kirby would be liable because they approved the waiver. We hope that the Economic Development Committee and Kirby City Council would keep an eye on new businesses that come into our city limits to ensure they are enhancing our community both visually, environmentally, and being respectful of their residential neighbors. Please do not bring businesses into this community just for their tax base. Businesses may increase tax revenue for the City of Kirby, but businesses can also decrease our property value and make homes harder to sell. I bring to the attention of City Council issues and concerns for my neighborhood. After speaking with many of my neighbors, many of these issues and concerns are theirs as well. I would like to acknowledge the residents from Buzz Aldrin Drive who have taken the time to be in attendance tonight. There are several issues regarding the commercial property located directly behind our properties. Big Boy Hauling is commercial property that you see as soon as you enter Kirby city limits. It is my understanding that the owner of Big Boy Hauling, Mr. Wynn, represented his business to members of the City Council as a dispatch center with a limited amount of trucks that would operate Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. At the May 14th Planning and Zoning Commission meeting, Mr. Wynn was asked what kind of business he has, and he said something to the effect that he hauled road materials and sand, never mentioning anything about his business being a dispatch center. The Big Boy Hauling sign states haul off material and site work. There is a banner hanging on the property fence that indicates 24/7 towing and recovery. Mr. Wynn never indicated he did material haul off site work, towing or recovery 24/7. You can go back and check the recording for the exact verbiage he used at that meeting. The business on the property now appears to be a material yard, a storage yard, and what we perceive as a dumping ground for material. You can see the material contains debris and could contain other contaminants. Mrs. Mayor and members of the City Council, it is my opinion that Mr. Wynn was not truthful or forthcoming about his business, and in my opinion has proven that he is not being a good business neighbor. This is a shame because we had no problem welcoming what we were told was going to be a dispatch center that would be operating Monday through Friday with hours 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. And excuse me, I have to get some water.
That's fine. You have plenty of time.
You've got 5 more minutes.
Thank you.
There are 6 people plus her, so there is 20. It's a total of 21 minutes.
Okay. At the meeting on May 14th, my neighbor and I spoke about the huge mounds of old soil which appeared to contain oil, as well as other high mounds of materials. Since that time, more material has been brought in and the mounds continue to grow. We also spoke about a pile of large rocks as well as a huge dead tree, numerous vehicles, a travel trailer, large hauling trucks, large trailers, large machinery, fuel tanks just sitting on the ground, and other material laying around. At that meeting, I also spoke about the overgrowth on the property, which was as high as my 6-foot fence. Approximately 2 weeks after the May 14th meeting, for the most part, the old soil was no longer seen from Ben Zingelman, and the weeds were somewhat cleaned up, but not entirely in the easement, which backs up against my wooden fence. Looking out my back door, you can see a line of machinery and trailers. Some have been there for months with the same refuse in them. If these hauling trucks, vehicles, or machinery are leaking fuel or oil onto the ground, and because there is no asphalt or concrete, the contaminants are going straight into the ground, and this is an environmental concern. To the human eye, there appears to be no safety runoff area in case of a diesel fuel or oil spill on the property, which would also have an environmental impact. These contaminants could be going directly into the soil of our residential properties or flowing down the street in heavy rains. I have videos from September 5th, 2018, that are date and time stamped 9:35 p.m. when they were on property banging, clanging, and hollering at each other. The video does not do justice to the volume of the noise heard inside and outside my home. They have also started up as early as 5:30 a.m. I had never called Kirby PD for these and numerous other instances because I was trying to be a good neighbor, giving Mr. Wynn a chance to get his dispatch company set up. But it appears he is not at all concerned with the homes that are located directly behind the property. Regarding the 10-foot utility easement, prior to the purchase of the property, I maintained the easement for 30 years behind my wooden fence, which included pulling weeds, mowing, and cutting down hackberry trees from seeds the birds would drop. Who will now maintain the back of my fence? During the summer when the weeds die, it will become a fire hazard, so the easement and the entire property must be maintained every few weeks. The AT&T pedestal is directly behind my fence, and technicians need 24/7 access to this utility. In the past, I had to cancel an event at my home due to the business working on Saturday afternoon. I can no longer go outside and sit in my backyard after work or on the weekends because of the noise. My neighbor came home one day, and pictures in the back of her home were lopsided from vibrations from the machinery and vehicles. Shortly after the May 14th meeting, on several instances, including well after 7 p.m. Mr. Wynn was on machinery going back and forth very close to my fence, and my entire house was vibrating, and the noise in my home was extremely loud. Another neighbor across Buzz Aldrin told me that they can hear them banging and clanging inside their home as well. It is my understanding that the public utility easement was claimed by the land developer to sell, and my neighbor's fence was taken down. And in the process, the people involved were very belligerent to my neighbor. Like some of my neighbors, I have since invested in the security surveillance cameras in addition to my home security system to ensure the safety of my home and assets. We have no idea who is behind our property, no idea what the background of these people are. The city council should be concerned with the well-being of the residents. Why should we have to police the property behind us when we have paid city employees and elected council members who should be keeping an eye on this for us? It is my understanding that there have been concerns from the start about Big Boy Hauling placing trucks directly behind our residences. The ExxonMobil pipeline runs across the property. I contacted ExxonMobil to determine what the risk of danger would be for heavy equipment continuously driving over the pipeline and asked how deep the pipeline was. At the time, Exxon notified me that the depth was something that could not be divulged and that the property owner would not be building within 15 feet of the pipeline. I ask on behalf of the residents, children, and other businesses in the city of Kirby, what impact or dangers would we face should this pipeline rupture from heavy equipment driving over the top of the pipeline routinely? If the pipeline were to rupture, what would be the impact of the devastation across the city of Kirby? Mr. Wynn moves material in the morning and afternoons with heavy machinery across the property, and the noise is very loud. My concern is also for the people that are retired, stay-at-home moms, people that work from home, people that work at night and are home sleeping during the day, or for those that are at home because of illness and trying to rest or recovery from surgery. Build at least an 8-foot fence around the property since we are out in our backyards. We do not have the view of your property. Why not move the trucks, trailers, and machinery to the other end of the property along Springfield Road? The residents would not be subjected to hearing 18-wheelers or machinery starting up early in the morning are coming onto the property in the late afternoon or early evening. The noise level would be much less. This would also eliminate our dogs from barking and raising a fuss because they hear strangers directly behind our fence line. We do know there will be noise and other inconveniences when the metal building is being built, which would be expected. I believe there are numerous code violations on the property. I contacted the Bexar County Fire Marshal regarding a fuel tank which was within 10 feet of my property. If need be, I'm at the ready to contact the Environmental Protection Agency, which protects people and the environment from significant health risk, develops and enforces environmental regulations. I invite all members of the City Council, the City Secretary, and the City Manager to come to my home and see what my neighbors and I are dealing with. If you are not acting on these issues, each new business will follow suit. This has turned the lives of many of the homeowners upside down, and this is not acceptable. A building has been moved onto the property behind the Little Taco Factory, and it appears to be very close to the homeowner's fence. There's an ordinance for setback, and this is an issue that code compliance needs to address. There are also trailers backed up within feet of our fence lines. The developer and all the businesses that are coming into the Springfield Road property should all be good business neighbors and be considerate of the homes they are located behind, just as we are with our neighbors. We would like to continue to have our homes in Kirby be a pleasant place to live. And please note, television media and social media can be your best advertisement or a sounding board for complaints about your businesses. If the members of City Council, the land developer, the owner of Big Boy Hauling, as well as the other commercial property owners on Springfield Road, do not realize how they have affected us, the homeowners, let this be our official notice. There should be no retaliation against myself or any homeowners for voicing our opinions. If any homeowner feels they are being harassed, feel unsafe with what is going on behind their fences, I say to them, contact the Kirby Police Department dispatch number and always ask for a case number. Do not ever hesitate to call them. That is their job. If homeowners have other concerns, go to City Hall and your City Council members, because it is their job as elected officials to serve the residents of the City of Kirby. Now, let me address a few items that I pulled from the Code of Ordinances. Chapter 94, Nuisances, Article 1, General Provisions, 94.01, Prohibited Conditions Designated. D, Weeds, Brush, and Grass. It shall be unlawful for any person owning or occupying any real property within the corporate limits of the city to allow weeds, brush, or grass to grow to a height greater than 12 inches above grade upon such premises, including the maintenance and or cutting of any and all weeds, brush, or grass greater than 12 inches above grade in the alleys, right-of-way, and or easements which are adjacent to and within 10 feet from their property. Chapter 99, Fire Protection, Structural Integrity, Zoning, Disposal, or Refuse, or Dangerously Damaged or Deteriorated Structures or Improvements, 99.01 Authority. The city shall have the right to bring a civil action for the enforcement of a city ordinance regarding, 1, preservation of public health or safety relating to fire protection, including the fire safety of a building or other structure or improvement, including provisions relating to materials, types of construction or design, interior configuration, illumination, warning devices, sprinklers or other fire suppression devices, availability of water supply for extinguishing fires, or location, design, or width of entrances or exits. 4, disposal of refuse or conditions caused by accumulations of refuse, vegetation, or other matters that create breeding and living places for insects and rodents. I have an invoice from this past Monday dated June 24th from my monthly service from Chewtech Wildlife Services, and the technician wrote, I made sure to check the rodent activity in the area. From what I saw, it looks like they have a decent area for shelter just behind the property. Chapter 150, Building Codes, Article 2, Building Construction Code, 150.16, Local Amendments to the Building Code. Certain provisions and portions of the International Building Code, 2015 edition, are hereby amended as they apply to activities within the city. The amendments to the International Building Code 2015 edition as follows. D, Section 903, delete Section 903 and replace with the following. Letter A, henceforth, automatic sprinkler systems must be installed throughout all levels of new group A, B, E, F, H, I, M, R1, R2, R4, and S occupancies as defined in the International Building Code of more than 500 square feet and throughout all R3 occupancies as defined in said International Building Code of more than 5,000 square feet. The calculated area shall include all habitable space as well as the area of attached garages or storage facilities. Such system shall be in accordance with Section 903 of the International Building Code as well as National Fire Protection Association Standards 13D and 13R, 2002 edition for single-family dwellings. Article 3, Codes Adopted by Reference, 150.34, Life Safety Code. A certain document which is on file in the office of the City Secretary of Kirby, being marked and designated as the National Fire Protection Association 101 Life Safety Code 2015 edition, as published by the National Fire Protection Association, shall be and is hereby adopted as the Life Safety Code of the City of Kirby, addressing construction, protection, and occupancy features necessary to minimize danger to life from the effects of fire, smoke, heat, toxic gases, and other causes, and each and all of the regulations, provisions, conditions, and terms of such Life Safety Code 2015 edition published by the National Fire Protection Association. and on file in the office of the City Secretary are hereby referred to, adopted, and made a part hereof as is fully set out in this section. Chapter 153, Zoning, Article 2, Zoning District Regulations, 153.020C2 Commercial District, Letter A. Use, property in a C2 commercial district shall be used for any purpose authorized in a C1 commercial office and retail district and for commercial purposes involving any of the following. Number one, outdoor storage or display of vehicles, equipment, supplies, or inventory. Number two, on-premise storage of hazardous chemicals in bulk quantities, but provided that a specific use permit is required for such purposes. Sorry, I don't ever have to talk this much. Let me have to drink some water. Article 6, Planting and Screening, 153.093, Screening and Fencing. Letter C, Screening of Wreckage and Salvage Yards. Number 1, all wrecking yards, junk and salvage yards with open storage of wrecked or salvaged automobiles, machinery, appliances, or other used commodities and equipment shall surround such open storage with a solid screening wall or fence not less than 8 feet in height. In no instance will material be allowed to be stacked to a height which exceeds the height of the fence. Number 2, pavement standards. All wrecking, vehicle storage, and salvage yards shall be paved with concrete, asphalt, or similar materials where all vehicles, boats, trailers, and the like shall be parked. 154.05, sign standards, letter B, setback from right-of-way. In order to provide room for future sidewalks and utilities, all signs supporting structures shall be required to be set back at least 8 feet from the street right-of-way. Mrs. Mayor and members of City Council, please provide feedback to me within 7 business days regarding the questions and concerns on the document I will hand to the City Secretary. I will also provide photos, and you let me know who I can send videos to the appropriate parties, and I will be glad to send them. Thank you for your time.
We'll move to item 6, consideration of an action on minutes. I will entertain a motion for the regular minutes of June 13th.
Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to accept the regular minutes of June 13th, 2019.
Second.
We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, seconded by Councilmember Lehman, to accept the regular meeting minutes of June 13th.
Hang in there, you'll get
it. All in favor, please raise your right hand. All right, item 7A, presentation, recognition of Kirby Emergency Medical Staff for their recent successful EMS inspection. Chief Alfaro, the floor is yours.
Madam Mayor and Council, I apologize. The guys are out on a run right now. But I will say that on the 4th of June, the Texas Department of State Health Services conducted an inspection. It's a 2-year recertification process for EMS. This inspection is in accordance with Chapter 773 of the Texas Health and Safety Code. And the findings of these inspections that constitute the ambulances themselves, the equipment on the ambulances, the training records, the personnel, the certifications of the personnel, all standard operating procedures of the EMS system. Everything was scrutinized, dictated in a 5-hour investigation or a 5-hour recertification investigation, yielding 0 deficiencies. So with that being said, the EMS was recertified for another 2-year period, and I'm happy to say that I could not be more proud of my people that work for me. And everybody in the city needs to be proud of these people that do your EMS work, because there wasn't a single fault from the state found in this organization. So,
very good.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you very much. There is a thing for you to hang on.
That's fine.
I'll just leave it with Patty.
Fine, thank you.
All right, 7, same with 7B. We are going to the July 4th fireworks in the park update. Tanya will update us on this item.
Mayor, Council,
I'm here to announce our annual 4th of July fireworks at Friendship Park that will take place next week, Thursday, July 4th. Gates open at 6 p.m. and entry fee is $5 per vehicle. Fireworks will start at 9:15 p.m. We are featuring the Cody Parker Band, so we're excited about that. We also will have some great food vendor items such as sodas, water. We also will have barbecue chopped beef, turkey legs, pulled pork, french fries, corn dogs, cake, and prepackaged ice cream. So we're excited to host this, and we hope that everybody joins us.
So when on your flyer you say, I'm sorry, no drinks, so they can't bring their
correct
alcohol.
Yes. Notice no correct no outside food or drinks at this event.
So it's going to be alcohol free.
As far as I know, yes.
Okay. Yes. Just making sure. Mm-hmm. I think that we really need to put that out because a lot of people have asked me about it.
Okay. Not a problem.
Any more questions? All right. Thank you, Tanya. Okay, item 8, the consent agenda. I will entertain a motion that includes approval of quarterly financial report for period ending March 31 and the approval of quarterly investment report for period ending March 31, 2019.
Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to accept the financial report and the investment report for the period ending of March 31st of 2019.
Second. We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, seconded by Councilmember Apodaca to accept the consent agenda. Is there any discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Lehman?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. Thank you, Tina. Right. Item 9. Oh, at this time, it's item 9A, the public hearing. I will close the regular meeting at 7:27 and open the public hearing. Item 9A, on a variance to the building code section 150.16DA to waive the requirement of the installation of an automatic sprinkler system in a 3,300 square foot commercial building located at NCB 10596 CB 4018G block lots 1, 2, 3, otherwise known as 1001, 10424 Springfield Road, City of Kirby, Bexar County, Texas. At this time, if there is anyone who wants to speak for or against this request for variance, please take the podium and state your name. And this is, we cannot have discussion amongst ourselves, so this is just for the public.
Good evening. My name is David Zapata. I am the architect of record for Big Boy Hauling proposed building that's going to sit on the existing site. Now, we are asking for a variance to delete the fire sprinkler system. Number one, typically the uniform building code all over the nation requires for a building to be sprinklered over 5,000 square feet. Okay, City of Kirby is asking for 500 square feet. Now that's a big difference. 500 square feet is from that wall to about right here. Okay, and economically, for future developers or for future companies that want to come into Kirby would have to deal with this. And being that this proposed building is only 2,400 square feet enclosed and 900 square feet of just a covered area open on three sides. Now, our variance only applies, and I'm only here to apply for a variance or ask for a variance on the building only, okay? We've got a 24-foot required fire lane around the building. We've got a sprinkler. We've got a fire hydrant 100 feet away from the building. The building is also non-combustible. It's all metal. Interior studs are all metal. We're using a Type X fire-rated jib board on the inside offices. We've got a series of fire extinguishers as required by code located throughout the building. And, you know, we're just asking for a variance on this building. Now, I would understand if the building was over 5,000 square feet, yes. Automatically, we would provide by the IBC to provide a sprinkler system to the building. But being that the building is under 5,000 square feet, it kind of hampers us to further develop and to conceive that anything over 500 will require a sprinkler system. And nowhere in Texas or in the United States is there a 500 square foot requirement for a sprinkler system on a building. So that, you know, I'm not here talking about the site. The site is another issue, completely another issue. But we're complying by code, we're complying with the building. And I'm only talking about the building and what is required for that building to meet life safety standards and fire codes and electrical codes, mechanical codes. And that's what, you know, what we've submitted to the city of Kirby for permitting. Any questions?
We can't.
Okay.
This item will be up on the agenda, and if we have any questions, we'll ask you then.
Sure. Okay.
Morning, citizen. First of all, my name is John Nguyen. I own that property everybody's coming here for. And first and foremost, this is my first time actually attending one of these in person. I want to start off saying thank you for everybody for coming. We are addressing concerns and trying to be a good neighbor to everybody behind us. We only run...
We can only talk... This is the public hearing for just a for or against the sprinkler, so we can't talk about anything else. So.
Okay, thank you. Okay. That's
thank
my time.
You. All right.
My name is Charlene Wyatt. I live at 3106 Buzz Aldrin, which is his property is right behind mine. I'm totally against the variance. I don't like hearing, well, in the United States it's this or nowhere else is it that requirement. This is what we require in the city of Kirby, and they need to adhere to what we have in our codes. If they don't like that, I'm sorry, but we have those codes in place for a reason. We're a small community. We take care of one another. We watch out for one another. We've seen fires in that field behind us before come within feet of our fences and our homes. So I am totally against a variance for that reason. If they want to build, they need to build it right, do it right. Yes, it's a metal building. You've got insulation. You've got wiring. You've got furniture in there. You've got people in there. You've got paper. So I still think you need a sprinkler system. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else that wants to speak on this matter?
To address that the variance, that building is actually, I want to say, in the top of my head, about 300, 400 feet away from any other house in the back of our property. It's impossible for any, if it catches on fire, for that fire to spread 400 feet, 350 feet back of the property, catch one of the houses on fire. To me, that's physically impossible, and it's a metal building. I just want to add that if you guys are afraid that for whatever reason the building catches on fire and somehow the wind pushes, is not going to push 400 feet away from my building, that's going to go up to the back of the property. And back to, and the whole property is just base. It's going to be probably doing concrete or asphalt. So for it to spread 300, 400 feet to the back of the property and catch one of our neighbors is It's physically impossible, in my opinion. So that's all I guess.
His building may be 300 feet away, but he's still got vehicles, diesel fuel, and everything else out there. So it only takes one spark to cause a fire, and that's what we're concerned with. We've lived here since 1973, and I've never had such horrible things going on behind us. And like I said before, yes, it's caught fire back there before. And there's no reason to say it. He's saying it's impossible. It's not impossible. There's nothing impossible when it comes to fire. I think we need to be very diligent about what we're doing for our neighbors and for our community. I think we need to stick to the policy and codes we have. Thank you.
Is there anybody else that wants to speak on this item? Going once, twice, three times? All right. We will move to Item 9B on the public hearing on a request to rezone property from the current zoning of commercial district C2 to multiple family dwelling district R2. The property is located at lot 20B, block 3, CB5941, known as 414 Edelin Street, Kirby, Texas, 78219, Bexar County, Texas. If there is anyone who wants to speak for or against this, please approach the podium. All right, we will move to 9C. On a request to allow the property located at CB5865, block lot E, 183 feet of south 100 feet of 12, otherwise known as 48110 Gibbs Sprawl Road, Kirby, Texas, 78219, which is zoned commercial, office and retail, C1, to be used as a residential R1 property. Is there anybody who wishes to speak for or against this item? Mr. Bellotto, if you want to wait, I mean, you're more than welcome to speak now, but since you're on the agenda, if you want to wait then, that's... Yeah? You want to do that?
Yes.
Okay. Is there anybody to speak on this one? All right. At this time, I will close the public hearing at 7:37 and reconvene our regular meeting. Item 10. And I'm going to item 10A, discussion and possible action on City of Kirby garbage collection and recycling. Mr. Tom Armstrong with Republic Services. I will say in advance that I am going to go ahead. I'm just going to deviate from the meeting after you so that we can get our Ben Zingelman update. So.
Good. Thank you. Good evening, Mayor and Council. Patty, do you have my pictures? I can't talk till I have my pictures.
Okay. There's a learning curve?
Yeah, a little bit. Chief, we love you, but you don't look as good as Monique.
You may have to talk without your pictures.
You know, we believe you.
Just saying.
I'll draw you a picture.
Okay. Monique had asked me to speak about two things this evening. The recycling issue that we've been talking about for several months. And then the other thing that was a little vague was... some service issues on the trash side, and all she said was issues with drivers not picking up trash and driving carelessly. And I'll start with that one first. This time of year, we have a lot of very windy days. We also have some residents that overload cans to the point where the lids aren't able to close completely. If trash isn't put into its cart in bags that are closed up, and the lid isn't closed, the wind can blow that trash around, especially when our truck grabs it and begins to lift it to put it into the hopper on the truck on these windy days. It's going to hit it, and if it's not bagged, it's going to fly around. We have our drivers, for the most part, are very meticulous and will go out of their way to pick something up if it's within reason. We had some days back, especially in May and early June, where we had wind blowing 20, 25 miles an hour, and there's just no way they could keep up with it. So, and I had some pictures of some examples, and if I need to just get them to council, I can do that. But we might want to put out a flyer urging residents, number one, to bag their trash. Don't just get your trash can from inside the house and dump it in the cart loose. Bag trash won't make more litter on windy days. And then don't overfill these carts to the point where the lid isn't closing. It's going to fall out anyway, even if it's not windy. So that's a couple ideas there. And then we are continuing to sit down and coach drivers on the importance of taking their time and being as meticulous as possible when they're working through the city of Kirby.
At one time, didn't you say that your drivers wouldn't pick up the trash, though, if the lids were, if it was so overfilled? Because I know that they have been, because I've driven and seen the lids open and there's just piles of trash hanging out of it. But I believe that at one time that was Republic stance, that because they couldn't, it wouldn't work properly.
If it's overloaded and that lid won't close, they're not going to get out. But if they're just going through their regular service and emptying a can, and once they empty that, a gust of wind hits it and some trash blows out from the top of our hopper, they're gonna stop and get that if they're able. Sometimes papers are just gone and hard to catch up with. But if it's kind of what we call gross negligence and the thing is so overloaded that the lid won't close, they have stuff stacked on top of that with our automated trucks, it's very difficult to keep that from blowing out. You have a clicker, Patty? Or okay. Can you go down? Okay, so here's a couple examples. Will you click on slideshow at the top there, right in the middle on the list? And hit just hit start or from the beginning there. And then go down. There. Okay. So, and I think there's only two or three pictures, but this is a good example here of a can that's overloaded. The lid won't close. If there's any wind, even without wind, there's a good chance that some trash is. I hope that's not the mayor's house. Even without wind, there's a.
Exactly like you said to.
In the street.
Okay. I know. So that's a good example. Patty, let's see the next one. It's another one.
But on that one, can the truck even get there because of the car?
He can, but on the, go, on this one, yeah, he can. It makes it tough. He's got to go in and he's got to get that arm at an angle to get that. So, if the more room you can give us, the better. If we can have 4 feet on each side, there's no issues at all, and it's going to help with all of these problems. If we're having to kind of snake in there at an angle, grab that cart at an angle, there's also a little better chance of stuff coming out of the of the cart itself. I think there's one more, Patty. Okay, yeah, just kind of the same thing. So, anyway, the other thing Monique had said, and I hadn't personally received any complaints on it, but she said she wanted me to speak about drivers driving recklessly through the community, and I wasn't aware of that, but if anyone has any specifics, I would love to address that. And that's enough information where, I mean, I can take it back and say, hey, I received a complaint from City Council.
Is that something that y'all received? I personally haven't received any emails.
Whoops, I'm sorry. So we'll, I'll follow up with
maybe
Monique.
See it because I haven't.
He has something, but you know, we have zero tolerance for that. You know, and if a driver is pulled over and receives a citation, there's nothing we're going to do as a company to help them out. If they're driving recklessly and receive a ticket or citation, that's on them. And with our strict safety policies that we have in place, there's not much tolerance in place for that. On the recycling side, or did you have any questions or comments on the...
Does anyone have any questions about the actual pickup? However, we do know that if residents have issues, they can call City Hall, and it's option one. And they can you can make a complaint about the trash pickup itself. If you have a broken receptacle, you can also call that number, 661-3198, option one. And you can leave your information there, and then...
Or if you have a compliment, you can do that.
Oh, yes, a compliment, yes. Okay.
Can you go back up to the top? Okay, down one. Okay, so we had spoke about the changes in the recycling industry, the changes to China's acceptance of recyclables, and then just very quickly to kind of rehash some of that. Before China enacted these increased regulations, 40% of all the recyclables in the United States were going to China. What they basically did was they had so much coming in, and a lot of it was contaminated. They got to a point where they don't have any regulation on landfills at all, so they're basically just stacking it up, and they had a terrible pollution problem. And they committed to attempt to clean up their country, which is a good thing. But one of the deals that they enacted was they will only accept recyclables from any nation with a contamination rate of less than 0.5%. A normal contamination rate for a municipality, for instance, is about 20% contamination. So basically, it cut off just about all recyclables going in there. Now, we found other outlets for recyclable commodities throughout the world. The problem is that when China did that, the markets crashed and the commodity rates just plummeted. So an example, back in 2010, a ton of OCC or cardboard was worth about $200 a ton. As of this week, it's worth $50 a ton. So we could subsidize a poorly performing recycling program back then because we were making money from these commodities coming in. But with the commodities not worth hardly anything anymore, it's become very difficult for us to even break even. So I had come to council and I had asked for a 83 cent per home increase to cover some of those increased costs and lower commodity rates. Mayor and council asked me if I could try to come up with some other options, or if we would be able to get rid of recycling altogether. So the first option is what I just described: maintain the current curbside program with an 83 cent per home increase per month. The second one is to reduce the recycling service to every other week. The rate would stay the same. but we would remove the additional 1% that's added to the annual price increase. So if you put on your thinking cap, a couple years back, there was an issue with a price increase came through. The city asked me if we would roll back that price increase, and kind of as a compromise, what we agreed to is to roll that back, but that through the remainder of the contract, you would get your normal price increase plus 1%. So what I'm proposing here is we would get rid of that additional 1% from the price increase and go to an every other week service. The last one is the tough one. I was unable to receive approval from our corporate office to get rid of the recycling altogether and lower the price. What's behind that, you can see on this slide, Kirby's rate is so low that when I approached them in the first place, they said that rate is absolutely ridiculously low. We can't even consider going less than that. So I put some examples of some other cities that show the other prices, you know, and a couple that are sort of close to you guys are still $3 a home higher per month. Pleasanton, which has, you know, close to 10,000 homes, in Floresville, which is also significantly bigger and growing. So basically, I ran into a dead end there. They said, you know, with the rates where they are, if they wanted to get rid of the recycling, we would have to leave the rate the same. So I don't know how good of an option that is.
Well, and then when we talked about the recycling, it was based on the numbers, because it was the contamination numbers, because there was, I believe you said, only 50% of residents were actually recycling, and of that 50%, over half of it, way more than half, was not even being recycled because it was being contaminated, because people were using the receptacle as a trash can.
Mm-hmm. So we are still receiving some marketable commodities out of that. The problem is there's just no room in that rate. You know, if the trash rate itself were higher, we would have some room to bring down that rate a little bit. Unfortunately, y'all beat me up a little too hard when we negotiated this last time, and it's at a really, really low rate. So, those are our options as we have them right now. If you have any questions, if you would like to table this and discuss it more, I'd be happy to do that.
Well, yeah, I don't think tonight would be the night to make a decision about that piece of it.
Okay.
Not only that, but the city manager's not here, and I'm sure that there's some other dialogue that needs to happen. But
would it be possible to get a meeting with Monique, maybe yourself and a council person or two? I know you work during the day, so if we had to do it after hours, I'd be fine with that. But just
to clarify, so you're saying an 83-cent increase per month. But even if we chose to, you know, go without recycling at all, it would still stay at that $14.30.
Mm-hmm.
But no increase.
Correct.
That 83 cents would only be if we kept the recycling.
Yes. If you kept the program as is, if you left the price the same, we would go to every other week cycling. So we would just be running those trucks down the streets every other week.
I was going to say, I thought we were every other week now.
We are every other week.
Yeah, it's every other week, Coach.
It's every other Thursday.
Yep.
Because I put a sign on top of my green lid, and I put trash in for the off week.
Falls in your court.
Scratch option two. No, that's completely on me. I apologize. I was thinking that several years ago we had switched that from every other week to weekly, so I apologize for
we
that.
We actually did have weekly, but because the carts were so large, there wasn't enough in there
right.
to do anything, so then it moved to every other week.
Okay. Well, there's really no need to go any less than that to look at, you know, every third week or monthly. It's just too hard for people to remember a schedule like that. And every other week schedule is tough for folks to remember and keep straight in their mind. So I suggest we kind of go back to the drawing board and schedule a meeting where we can discuss this a little further.
You think you could put that proposal into a letter of writing, and so that we could look at it?
Certainly.
Okay. It's, you know, it's hard to, it's not that you are very articulate. It's just remembering the figures and how you want to apply them, and it's easier if we have that to reference.
I'd be happy to do that.
Okay.
Just send it to Monique's attention, and she'll...
You can copy me if you want, then that way I know it's sent.
Okay, good.
I do have a question, though.
Yes, ma'am.
When I'm watching San Antonio's on TV, you're also offering the smaller garbage cans. Could that be an option for some Kirby's? Because a lot of them are elderly, and they can't pull this giant thing up and down, or is that not an option?
It is. The problem is there's a cost involved in that. We have to basically keep on hand a second inventory of carts. So even though it's a smaller cart, there would be a cost for us to acquire an inventory of those carts. Now, one thing I can do is see if I have any type of inventory now. And if we could get an idea, and I don't know how we could do this unless we looked at a survey or something like that, if we could try to come up with some idea about how many folks would be interested in, doing that.
Your drivers get out and help roll some of the seniors, but if they were smaller carts, they may not even have to get out. And, you know, I'm sure some of them would still need help, but
yeah,
that might help eliminate.
And we're happy to do that. The city of Kirby does a very good job of managing the handicap and elderly list. We have cities that take advantage of it, and people just call in and say, I need handicap service, and they're like, okay, and they put them on there, and it's completely able-bodied people that could take that cart down there that aren't. So Kirby does a very good job in that regard, which we appreciate. But if it's a handful of residents that we're talking about, less than, if it's like 25 folks or something like that, where they feel like if they had a smaller cart, they would be more able to maneuver it. If I have some inventory, I'd be happy to swap those out for them. A lot of times what happens in those situations is if somebody gets one, a lot of people want them. So it's something we can certainly look at, Ms. Wilson. Anything else? Thank you, guys.
Thank you, ma'am. All right. When do you think you can get that to Monique?
The letter, or I'm on vacation next week, so the following week.
Okay.
Vacation? They let you take a vacation?
Yeah, I get like one every 3 weeks.
All right.
Nice check.
Jaron, if you can hold on just a second, I'm going to deviate from the meeting just a second. We are going to move to item 10E, update, discussion, and possible action on Ben Zingelman Road reconstruction project. We have our Port Engineering, Mr. Mark Hill.
Thank you for moving me up. It's been a while since I've been here. Good evening, Mayor, Council members, Chief. As an update, we are past the year mark. They have an approved change order for rain days for 77 days past that. So that puts us into the middle or end of July, I believe, for them to wrap up before liquidated damages become applicable. For punch list items for our phases 1, 2, and 3, they are 99% complete. They have everything done except for the traffic signs. And so we sent a message, reached out to them. We met with them Friday and brought this again to their attention, said, hey, all the other items that we've identified have been addressed. If you can address these. We had been notified prior to this that they would have them addressed within a certain amount of time, and it hadn't been done. So I reached out to them again on Monday to remind them, hey, please give me your response. When are the signs going to be replaced? The response was that they had reached out to their signage and barricade supplier, and they got a verbal response from them on Monday. And in that response, they were told that they had 2 to 3 weeks for fabricating the material and the signs, and then after that, another week. And so he also mentioned that they had went ahead and also reached out to another supplier and were waiting for a response on their availability. And that was as of Tuesday. Yesterday, I again reached out and asked for an update because I knew I'd be here and I knew you'd want to know, and I did not receive a reply. So my estimation is that within 2 to 3 weeks, they should get their material. And a week after that, the sign should be done. And at that point, we can issue a notice to proceed for phases four.
So basically a month for signs before they can, something that they already knew they had to do way in advance.
Yes,
they
ma'am.
Waited to literally the last minute again to delay a job, but then come back and ask for rain days when they're not even working during the normal sunshine days.
It's too hot.
Yes, it's too hot, yeah.
It is very hot, but no, that's a good summary. Yes, ma'am.
So have you driven down Ben Singelman between Alan Shepard and Charles Conrad since they dug it up and put it back on?
Yes, ma'am. So there was a, in the punch list we identified, there's a 4-foot area right against the culvert that we wanted them to mill it down because there was a little bit of a bump. You could feel it as you drove across. It was maybe 1 to 2 inches, but you could feel it as you drove. And the intent was, hey, just take off these this 4 foot, and they ended up going above and beyond. And their response to me and why they went so much was to eliminate some of the ponding that was happening in the middle.
But now it's just as rough as almost as it was before. When we're driving my husband's truck, you can feel every rock that's in the road. It's really rough. So, and basically, in the middle part where they didn't do on the outside, they did on the inside lanes. You can see the difference, and if you're driving on that, you can feel it. So, but like you said, we have a year. They ever finish?
Right, a year. Before we issue the notice to proceed, we issue a letter of acceptance, and that starts the year mark. So ideally it would be a year from yesterday, but I mean it would be a year from when we issue the acceptance for phases 1, 2, and 3. And phases 4, 5, 6, and 7 hopefully don't take another year. But no,
it might if those signs don't get here because they can't go any further without them.
Right, and what we're saying is that they can't move forward until they've addressed all the punch list items, and that was one of those punch list items. Yes, ma'am.
And I'm curious if they know how to measure.
Okay.
No, I'm serious. The two stop signs, east and west, are like about, 9 feet in the air, and the standard for the state is 7.
Right, and those are temporary signs. Those are the ones that they pulled out and put back in. They should not be the new ones because per the message they gave me.
They're still not enforceable. They're 9 feet in the air.
Yes.
The standard for the state is 7.
7 feet, yes, sir.
So if a guy runs through it, I mean, that's the chief has given me this, and I understand that. But you get somebody in here with a little bit of knowledge, and they're going to tell you that.
Thanks, Mike.
I mean, it's absolute. Right.
So, yeah, when they put in the new ones, we're going to insist that they install it per code.
Can't dig the hole a little deeper now?
Well, I would like them to do that, yes.
I'd like to beat them with a sign, but I can't. I understand it.
Okay.
It's not your fault. It's just, this is just the kind of negligence and stupidity that we put up with. Not your fault. We're not, unfortunately, you're the messenger and you're getting arrows. I'm sorry.
I need a microphone.
I'm sorry, I'm the messenger, and I'd have to apologize to you.
But, I mean, it's to the point, it just ain't funny, McGee. You know, I mean, these guys are the most inept, just morons. I mean, it's a Cub Scout troop could do a hell of a lot better job. And we got a Boy Scout sitting here that I know could do a better job. And I know he knows the difference between 7 and 9. You know, and I'm not, again, but it's just the negligence, the little things. And it has driven you crazy. It's driven our guy crazy. And, you know, I'm so tired of beating you two guys. I'd like to have that kid in here for about 5 minutes in that stop sign.
So have they worked at all this week?
No.
Did they work before?
Nope.
The last time they were out there was Friday when we were out there, and they were doing some minor things. I think that was the last time I saw them was Friday, right?
Yeah, and then before that it was, I believe, the Wednesday before they were installing that the cover.
Yeah, yes. The metal plate.
The metal plate. But, yeah, other than that, nobody's been out there at all. So.
And that was actually rhetorical. I knew they hadn't been. But.
Can I ask you a question? Why is there a two-way deal in front of my driveway?
So you know which direction? I don't follow, sir.
Some genius from way down where they haven't striped yet, and you have the two-way arrows. Mm-hmm. Well, there's one in front of my driveway. Is that telling me a foreboding thing when they're getting to my house, which is next?
Along with the trash can.
Or did they move them?
Notice. So you're saying that, because I noticed that a couple signs look new around the detour over off of Fred, not Fred Hayes, what's the next street over?
Next one over.
Yeah, the next one over towards Ackerman.
Yep.
But that sign's always been there. Now, they did ask the question if they could move signs and start prepping the detour over there, which we instructed them not to do anything. So if they put a new sign in there,
No. Just one of those little, it's all by itself.
Yeah, it's a little
orphan is sitting in front of my driveway. That's a two-way on the pedestal.
Just making sure you know which direction you need to go.
They're trying to tell me that I'm dumb enough not to know how to get out of my driveway. Is that what you're saying? It's okay.
But,
I've already been harassed.
No, but I echo your frustrations. You know, this has gone longer than we had ever anticipated. But
you think?
Yes.
Do you think they're going to actually give you a standard yes or no when they're getting those signs, other than they think it's 2 or 3 weeks?
Good question.
I mean, that's a good question. All I can do is follow up with them again, as I followed up several times this week.
Well, we talked to them on our last Friday. We had talked to them, and they said that there was a mix-up with, I guess, their receptionist.
No.
Really?
Yeah, she's their office, not the receptionist. It's the lady running the program.
Oh, she's running
the program. Yeah, she's doing the paperwork of the program, and it was a mix-up between temporary traffic signage and the permanent traffic signs. That was the explanation we received.
All right.
Okay.
So basically they are just ordered them or are looking into them, so we can expect they'll be here in a month, maybe.
Yes, ma'am.
So it won't be striped, and all the striping and stuff for traffic control won't be put down until it's all paved?
Right. We're waiting for the entire project to be done, for them to come in to stripe it all at one blow.
All righty. You know, you really make it hard to be old. You know that. But okay.
Okay, so October 2019 obviously is not going to be the end date. But is there any other questions?
No.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Have a good night.
Thank you, too. All right, I'm going to go back to 10B, discussion and possible action on an Eagle Scout project in Friendship Park. We have Duran Paul Guzman, and he will present his project. You don't have a time limit, so you don't have to hurry up in 3 minutes.
Hello, good evening, Council. My name is actually Darren Guzman.
Oh, Darren, sorry.
Yeah, don't worry, you're not the first. So I'm in Troop 1412, and I'm currently a Life Scout working on my Eagle Scout project. So in order to become an Eagle Scout, I had to do the Eagle Scout project, which first step is to go by through y'all. So my goal of my project. So what I'm trying to do is provide more areas for citizens or people visiting Friendship Park to like rest, host parties, or et cetera. What's there now? So at first, my project was going to be building four tables for four slabs, but as I visited the park, I realized there was a whole other side with four more empty slabs that I feel like could be used for people during parties or something. Because when I go to, I used to go over to the park for meetings, and I would see like kids playing football over there. So it's like, what if they like wanted to have like a little celebratory party? They would have to come all the way to the left side where it would usually be full. So after I realized that, I decided to add four more tables to my project to make it easier for those kids. I have a few pictures of like a couple slabs right there. As you can see, the one near the football field, it's like less natured. There's like less, you don't even realize it's there. So a good way to like show that it exists is like provide tables and give people reasons to go over there. The same day I was visiting, I only saw like a family having like a tiny party in the one small red pavilion that's already there. So it'd be nice if someone wanted to host bigger parties and events for that area. What will it look like? So I was researching on Google like possible picnic tables, and I found this document. Do y'all like the design of it, or would y'all like it more similar to the tables you already have?
What do you feel comfortable with, son?
I like the design already up there because it gives a more park vibe.
Okay.
And there's another picture of my starting design. So like each slabs, at first I thought all the slabs had like the same like length. Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah, after taking measurements, there's a bunch of different slabs. So I got like a couple of designs of like differentiation of the tables, what it looked like overhead. So how I plan to achieve this goal. So first, money would be the biggest issue. So like my fellow peers, I plan on going to companies such as Home Depot, Lowe's, asking for like donations of the materials needed, mainly the wood planks and all that to build it. And after that, I would pre-build them so I can make sure that, because right now, weather looks like an issue out there. It was hard for me to just drive here earlier today. So I would pre-build them in a safer area. And then once I'm done with that, I would transport them all the way back to the park to set them up. And finally, to make sure I accomplish it, I would do like a checkup like once every 2 weeks to make sure it is able to like survive the environment that it's in, basically. What do I need from you? So in order to make items for like parks and all that, you need permits and license. So I was asking y'all if y'all could pay for that so I could do the project. Also, to make sure I don't like hurt the park in any way, I would like to know if there's like any possible hazards that might come in the way of me building the project. And I would ask if y'all think it's more beneficial if I either bolt down the tables to like make sure it's like death prevented, or like, oh, okay, I guess y'all like the idea more. So yeah, I would do that. Oh, well, thank you for your time. Do y'all have any questions or more do y'all want to know?
Gilbert, did you walk out there with Darren?
Yeah, we were. It's fine. It's planned. Everything he has in place right now.
Is there a suggestion with what he was asking as far as the bolting and those?
About the only thing that I would say is that if you're going to find a way to anchor it down, it would just be a concrete anchor that you put in there and the chain, and that would be fine. We'll put a lock on, a city lock on there. So that would suffice.
Okay, thank you very much.
And Patty, the permit and those things that he's talking about?
Does he need? I don't think he needs any permits.
That's why I was asking, because I wasn't aware that there was one. So I thought maybe, there was something that I wasn't aware of about the picnic table part.
Oh, okay.
Mayor, I'd like to make a motion that we accept this young man's proposal, and if there are any fees at all, that they be waived.
We have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Councilmember Pierce, to accept Darren's project for Friendship Park. Is there any discussion?
And waive fees. If there any comes up.
Okay.
All right. Is there any other discussion?
I have one thing.
Okay.
Darren, when you're doing the planning, don't forget that we do have a population of people with mobility issues. So we have people in wheelchairs and scooters. Yes. So that's something to consider.
What I liked about some of the slabs is the ones to the far right, they seem to like already realize that problem, and they had a tiny ramp to make it accessible for them to go up.
Yep.
Any other discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Layman?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Akadaka?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. Thank you very much, and thank you for choosing Kirby to do your project in. We look forward to seeing all of the build and your fellow Eagle Scouts with his other project too going on at another place in the city. So thank you very much for choosing Kirby.
Thank you for your time.
All right, item 10C, discussion and possible action on a request for a variance to the building code section 150.16D A, to waive the requirement of the installation of an automatic sprinkler system in a 3,300 square foot commercial building located at NCB 10596 CB 4018G, block lots 1, 2, 3, otherwise known as 1001 and 1424 Springfield Road, City of Kirby, Barry County, Texas. This item, as you will recall, was an item for the public hearing, and this is now the agenda item for that item.
Our turn, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, Mayor, in my opinion, when you come into a city to do business, and it's like, for instance, maybe this is not a good analogy, but the speed limit is 30 miles an hour, and you don't like that. So you want to have that changed. We put things in place to protect our city. And they're there for a reason. And whether or not the rest of the world goes along with Kirby, I really don't care, because I don't live in the rest of the world. I live in Kirby for 42 years. And it's real simple. If you want to do business here, you abide by the rules. If you don't, well, you know, do what you got to do. That's my opinion.
Ms. Mayor, I'd like to make a comment. Somewhere down the line, yes, you're building a building now that's way underneath the required sprinkler code or national building code. Somewhere down the line, I hope that y'all expand and you're going to build onto your building and make it bigger. And because we've given the variance, then we're not going to get a sprinkling system put in at all, and it'll be 5,000 square foot, say. So personally, my feeling is like Mr. Grant said, the ordinance is there, and I think it ought to be upheld.
So I will entertain a motion.
I make a motion that we deny the variance.
Second. We have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Councilmember Pierce, to deny the variance for the automatic sprinkler system. Is there any discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Layman?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Akadaki?
Yes.
Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes.
Still remember Arts Upholstery by Tarn Ackerman. All metal building.
Ackerman Road.
How many years ago was that, Charlie? This is our chief. But it was an all metal building, and I'll just. All metal building. I remember being in that while that was going, after everything was said and done and everything was gone. We looked up and there was a 12-inch, was it about a 12-inch I-beam that had a nice bow in it on that building? And it was stacked with a whole bunch of stuff I'm not going to mention about anyways, but that was a pretty hot fire for an all metal building. And it was really a small building, too, because we all know the size of that probably wasn't more than 800 square feet.
Maybe.
Yeah. So I don't want anybody to have to face that again either.
All right. Item 10D, discussion and possible action on a request to allow the property located at CB 5865 Block Lot E, 183 feet of south 100 feet of 12, otherwise known as 4810 Gibbs Brawl Road, Kirby, Texas 78219, which is zoned commercial, office and retail C1, to be used as a residential R1 property. I will defer this to our city attorney, Mark Schnall.
Mayor, I want to point out to the council that the application for this item was filed. The name of the applicant on the application is Vinnie Bellotto. And it states that he is the owner of the property. And when I did a search, as I often do on properties that are coming before the governing body on this kind of a request, I looked at the Bear Appraisal District records and found that the Bear Appraisal District showed the ownership of this property to be an Allstate Properties MGMT LLC Series 9. That appears from the limited amount of research I did, both from the county real property records and the Office of the Comptroller of Public Accounts, that Allstate Properties MGMT LLC is owned by Mr. Bellotto. And I think this was probably just an error or on his part when he filed the application. He didn't remember that he had moved this property into an LLC. Therefore, this evening, if the council is inclined to permit the use of 4810 Gibbs Sprawl, as his request indicates, it would be my suggestion that any action in that regard be conditioned upon Mr. Bellotto filing with the city prior to the actual issuance of a special use permit, a statement from the property owner. In other words, a statement from Allstate Properties MGMT LLC, in which it authorizes Mr. Bellotto individually to make this request, and that any SUP be issued not to Mr. Bellotto, but to Allstate Properties MGMT LLC as the Series 9 as the property owner of record. And because there is no ordinance that's been prepared yet, the action tonight, if the council was inclined to permit this use, the action tonight would be to direct city staff to prepare an ordinance, because a specific use permit, in my judgment, is a zoning change, and a zoning change must be done by an ordinance.
But the issue is not the ownership. The issue is the variance. The issue is the request for the variance as opposed to – it's not the ownership. It's both. Both.
It's both. You have an ordinance that says – you're an SUP in Chapter 153. It says the where a specific use permit is required – the property owner shall make application on the form provided by the city.
Gotcha.
This application doesn't have the name Allstate Properties Management LLC Series 9. I think that was an oversight. I don't want and don't think we should necessarily penalize Mr. Bellotto, but I don't think that we should issue a specific use permit to Mr. Bellotto individually because he's not the record owner of the property. We need the record owner of the property, the LLC Series 9, to be the applicant and to be the party to whom the SUP is issued.
Well, if we tabled this and allowed him to correct that and come back, would it not make it simpler?
That is certainly an option, and we can certainly have an ordinance prepared in that regard. I was advised by the city secretary that one of the reasons there was not an ordinance pre-prepared was because she did not want to assume that the council
That's what I was thinking.
Favorable action.
Right.
And so, you know, I respect the city staff and the city secretary's judgment in that regard.
My caution is we
need the owner to
the
be
the correct person, yes.
The owner to either apply and be the applicant. In some cities, the ordinance says that the owner has to agree to the issuance and can delegate the application process to a real estate agent or anybody else. Our ordinance happens to say the application needs to be made by the owner.
Right.
So Mr. Bellotto should amend his application so that it comes from Allstate Properties MGMT LLC Series 9. He can sign that in his capacity as the manager of that LLC if he is still in that capacity. And because we're not ready to issue the SUP tonight, if the council were to so vote, it would simply be postponed until the next city council meeting where we could get it on agenda after we get that amended application. And I would think that in light of the 4th of July holiday, that really means he's got to get that to the city secretary by Tuesday or Wednesday of next week for it to make the agenda on July 11th.
Mayor, I think we ought to table it. We do that fact and allow him to make the changes, and it would make it a simpler make it simpler for us and the city total.
Okay, we have a motion to table.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Councilmember Wilson, to table this item, providing to July 11th, providing that all of the information is there, intact. Yeah. All right, will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Layden?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Altadaca?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. Mr. Bellotto, did you hear all of that?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you for coming tonight.
Sorry about the confusion.
No, it would make it easier for you, I believe, sir, honestly. So, yeah.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
And I appreciate you for being here.
Thank you.
With that, are we going to have the ordinance?
We won't know yet.
No.
We'll have to figure
just
it out.
Just have to wait.
Yeah. Item 10E, update. We did that one. Item 10F, discussion and possible action on appointing up to 4 alternate members to the Building and Standards Commission.
Really?
Do we have any applications? Item 10G, discussion and possible action on appointing a member to the Beautification Recycle Committee. Do we have any applications? Item 10H, discussion and possible action on appointing members to the Kirby Senior Center Corporation Board. Norma, do you have any applications? Does the city have any applications? All right, we will move to item 11A, request by mayor and council members for items to be placed on future city council agendas and announcements. On city events and community interests. Councilmember Grant.
Gilbert, I just need one thing. I don't know if you noticed the senior center, the flagpole, the rope is gone, or chain, however it is gone.
Yeah, I noticed that. I have a flag that I was going to put up there.
Yeah, I was going to go buy the two to put up, and it's, yeah.
So can we do something?
We had the vote. It just came down.
Okay, well, that's a care of.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Thank you all for coming out. Thank you, sir. We appreciate you. I was a scout myself, and I really appreciate your interest in our city a lot. Thank you so much. And thank you, everybody, again for coming. That's it, Mayor.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes. Sharon, I want you to know that I have approached the grass and the ugliness of behind y'all's houses every council. I drive down Ben Zingelman, and I look at that mess. And I've asked the grass to be cut, the rocks that are piling and piling and piling, the driveway. I've questioned that at least for the last three times I've been up here. Every time you come back, it's just growing more and more and more. And I want you to know that I'm behind you because I don't like it. It's an eyesore because I live on Allen Shepherd, and it's just an eyesore coming into our city. And so I agree, you know, we're trying to clean up everything. Well, you clean up, and that's just nasty.
I guess the city secretary has a binder is full of photos.
Yeah, I can visually see. I see it every day. It just adds.
I can forward videos, but I haven't.
And I questioned, you know, the water draining off because it's higher, and it's draining into the people's properties is one of the worries I had on it. And are you going to say anything about the senior center breakfast tomorrow?
I was, but you can go for it.
Well, if you're going to say it, I'll let Lisa do that one.
Oh, no, go ahead.
And also, I'd like to go ahead again and see if we can put Republic's information on the website and Facebook about how to put your garbage cans in the street and not park next to them. I don't think a lot of people know, you know, to put it into the street, and that'll help the damage on your garbage cans. And then the senior center is having their breakfast at this Saturday at what time?
8:30.
You said 10:30. I can say that's lunch.
No, I was going to say it was a trick question here for me.
You're going to be late.
You caught me
at 8:30 Saturday morning.
Yes, ma'am.
And then I think they're also, right, Norma, you're giving food July the 2nd?
July 2nd.
To anyone that needs food.
At 1 o'clock, the truck will pull up. So I think Sam put it on the website on the Kirby Neighbor. Dan says this one worked very well. So
good. I want to thank you for doing what you're doing. And I guess that's it. Huh?
Go ahead.
I think that's it.
Okay.
Are
you
done?
Is that just
no, I may not be done, but.
You just wrote up the whole site.
I did.
I know.
That's it.
Are you just going to be going around the corner?
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
You sure?
I'm thinking so.
All right. I want to thank everybody for coming out, and I also want to remind everybody of our 4th of July festival that's coming up and our spectacular firework display that we're going to have, and to come out and see the Cody Parker Band. Also, one thing that I did see on Facebook that I was kind of alarmed at, I do want to find out who actually keeps up with the ditch between Autumn and Vinecrest, because there was a resident on Facebook warning other mothers in Kirby not to let their kids plant the ditch because there's hypodermic needles. And I would like to kind of get to the bottom of that.
Washes away from someplace else and stops there.
Well, I'm just saying, it's something I saw that I think it needs to be addressed. There's one thing. Oh, I guess I'm done. I forgot. At least I'm honest. I forgot.
If you remember, let me know.
Okay.
Councilmember Lehman.
Well, I thank everybody for coming out tonight, and group of people like y'all are that's backed up against that commercial property is what the city, the council needs to know about so that we can try to help y'all as much as possible. So thank y'all for showing up tonight and hope you come back again.
Councilmember Apodaca?
The animal shelter is to capacity, unfortunately, and I've seen a lot of strays in the road.
if everybody can just keep an eye on their animals, make sure that they're safe, and if you see your neighbor's animal out, scoop them up and take care of them till the homeowner gets home. But it's really sad to see the animals out there. That's it.
Councilmember Pierce?
I'll wait for Monica.
Okay. All right. So, again, just to really echo what everybody says, thank you, everybody that came tonight. It is actually nice to see more than, you know, four seats taken. I hope that everybody continues to come back just to hear what's going on. The concerns that our residents that came tonight have, those are our concerns, too. It's not going unnoticed. It's something that we have all addressed one way or the other. It's, again, something that I wouldn't want my backyard as well, too. It's something that we see every day. It's a potential, just like, you know, echoing some of the other remarks, it's something that it sets precedence. It's, well, if they're, it's okay that they can do it, how come we can't? So I completely understand that. Senior Center breakfast at 8:30, July 4th festivities. And Gilbert, if we can address those, the Autumn and Redding at Starfire, if we can just see if there's something that we can do, and also to find out if that's something, because I know with the project, I know that we can do some of the maintenance, but some of it we can't touch. So if we can just kind of decipher what that is. And Chief, congratulations to your team. Thank you for maintaining and making sure that our city is safe. Also to our other chief, the same. And also, if the comments and the questions that Sharon had this evening, if we can make sure that it's addressed by city staff, and then if we can have those answers also disseminated to council so that we can see that it's been addressed, and that way there's an outlet there. All right. Thank you, everyone, and have a great weekend.